Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody tell me!
Welcome to Simple Facts of Life Radio, where we remember the famous words of former Obama White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel when he said, "Never let a good crisis go to waste." Well, today we are seeing a whole lot of folks on the left desperately trying not to waste an opportunity to get rid of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. So I am your host, the Chief, coming to you from Portland, Oregon. If you'd like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Well, looks like today is another day of social distancing, avoiding everybody, and living our lives on the internet. Or as those of us who have no life anyway call it, Tuesday, or any day that ends in a Y. But okay, since we're here living our lives on the internet, you know, with everything going on, I think maybe we should talk about something that's maybe not getting too much attention. Let me see. Now, what could that be? I know there's this Chinese Kung Flu end of the world pandemic thing. Nobody's talking about that, right? He said without a hint of sarcasm. Okay, lots going on with that. I'm going to just cover a few things. But for starters, President Trump insists on referring to it as the Chinese virus. I think that's deliberate because he wants the world to know that this is a Chinese virus. It came from China. China is doing everything they can to try and blame somebody else. I don't think it's working. But predictably, what we're seeing here, especially among the left in the United States, is they are trying to accuse the president of racist rhetoric because it's Chinese. Well, of course, Chinese is not a race, but that let's not get into details here. My take on that situation. I love it. You know why? Because the people on the left, the media, they are going to attack the president with whatever they have. And you know what? If this nonsense is the best they got, it tells me that the president must be doing a pretty good job if they've got nothing else to attack him on. Okay. But, you know, like I said, the Democrats seem to be lately repeating the Chinese Communist Party talking points. And, you know, you have to wonder just whose side are they on? Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. Okay. Now, with all that, let's talk about the whole virus crisis thing. Because, see, I'm not sure exactly how serious this is. It may be an overhyped version of a common cold. Coronaviruses have been around forever. This one seems to be a little more serious. Okay, I don't know. It may be something really serious. I don't know. Well, we'll be prudent. We'll take our precautions. I'll stay here in the bunker because, like I say, you know, that's what I do anyway. But I mentioned this last week. The media can make this as big or as small as they want to make it. They can talk about nothing else. They can spread doom and gloom rumors. They can talk about anything, or they could ignore it. They could do that too. If they had ignored it, I don't know if it would have been that big a deal, if we would be doing all this. Yeah, a few people would be getting sick. Some people would be dying. Newsflash, people die every day. I don't know. But what we're seeing is it's the narrative they want to spin. If anyone tests positive for coronavirus and then they get hit by a car, well, person tests positive, dies. End of story. That's the way they report it. If they wanted to make it different, a person could have coronavirus, develop pneumonia, die. Story would be person dies from pneumonia. Wouldn't even have to mention what may have caused the pneumonia. So we see which side the media is on. We see what they're trying to do. And therefore, we're just going to have to sort of take this all with a grain of salt. Now, I do know, I follow various sources, just people that you haven't heard of that I have. And I know this one guy who's, I'd even planned to have him on my show a couple of years ago. He just has a Facebook page with a lot of discussions on a lot of topics. Kind of an interesting guy with an interesting take on things. And about a year ago, he kind of disappeared. But he's sort of been making a comeback. And he has been sounding the alarm for months about the coronavirus, back when it was just a little tiny story, you know, back in the day when most of us were mainly concerned with whether or not the groundhog would see his shadow, and by the by, he didn't, early spring. But this guy had been warning anyone who would pay attention, and we didn't, about what was coming from China to a neighborhood near you. So this story's been around a while. And now we're back to Groundhog Day because it's the same thing every day. And yes, here I am. Even I have succumbed to it. So, whether it's actually as dangerous as people say or not, if enough people believe that there is a crisis, then there is a crisis. The whole thought process among the population just takes a life of its own. And then the people want a solution. And that's where we are today. So, well, among a lot of people, the solution just has to come from the federal government. Now, they seem to be trying to do something here. Trying, maybe, perhaps. But what we're seeing is the legislation that the Republicans and the Democrats put together has been blocked since Nancy Pelosi returned to town with her version of whatever she wants to do. And Nancy is not letting this crisis go to waste. So she has her own bill on how to save the people from the effects of the coronavirus outbreak, economic meltdown, and everything. And her plan, well, includes just a few other little details, things like we have to publish corporate pay statistics and by race and race statistics of all corporate boards. Yeah, we need to do that. That's important to take care of the common folk. Bailout on all current debt at the Postal Service, required early voting, required same-day voter registration, have some provisions for union collective bargaining, and of course the most important thing to help with coronavirus is a full offset of airline emissions by 2025. Publication and reporting of greenhouse gas statistics for individual flights. Retirement plans for community newspaper employees. Federal $15 minimum wage. Yeah, no surprise there. Permanent paid leave. And a study on climate change mitigation efforts. Ballot harvesting, back to the elections. Ballot harvest, got to make sure that ballot harvest and states mandates that states place polling locations in areas within walking distance of public transportation. All provisional ballots must be counted no matter where cast. Okay. Well, I looked this morning to see if there was anything new going on the efforts to get something done. No, I hadn't seen anything. Still where we were yesterday, the Senate tried to pass a bill or tried to move it forward, and it voted down a motion to proceed. They didn't even want to end the debate and have a vote. They wanted to just keep talking, filibustering, keep it going as long as they could. Because, I don't know, because what? I see no reason for any of this. Now, I'm going to get in a little bit because about what I think of the whole idea. I did want to mention one of my other people that I follow. He likes to post a lot of crazy stuff from the left, and he posted the Robert Reich, the former Clinton cabinet secretary, posted his take on it. Now, I don't know if you ever are familiar with Robert Reich. I find him strangely amusing while being totally annoying at the same time. He does these videos where he draws on a little, pictures because, the morons like you and me just can't understand simple words. We have to have little stick figures drawn for us so that we can comprehend. And just his entire tone is always just like he's talking down to you. Okay, children, I know this is complicated for you, but I'm going to try and make it as simple as possible so that even you can understand. Yeah, that's the way he talks in his videos. And, well, his take is, and this is sort of the Democrat talking points, this is not about helping the working people. This is about corporate bailouts. Yeah, okay. I ain't quite seeing how giving money, however much it is, to the people is a corporate bailout. But I do know if the corporations fail, they're going to have a hard time getting unfailed, and it's going to be hard for people to have jobs to come back to when they leave their houses again. But I don't know. See, I'm not sure exactly what I think the federal government should be doing, because if anybody's familiar with me at all, they know that as a matter of general principle, I'm not a fan of government programs, you know, that aren't in the 18 enumerated powers in Article 1 of the Constitution. I'm not a big fan of bailouts. I don't think it's the job of the government to save us from ourselves. However, people, rightly or wrongly, people are looking for solutions, and they're looking to the government to provide the solutions. Okay, well, as you can imagine, when we get in a situation like that, the leftists are not letting this crisis go to waste. Now, you know, what kind of got me thinking about all this was something that I saw on another, the guy I mentioned earlier who posts Robert Reich videos. I refer to him a lot. I never mention his name. I refer to him as Blue Checkmark Guy because he is actually very well known in some circles, but he posts a lot of stuff, very leftist, always, you know, 5 seconds behind whatever the leftist talking point of the moment is. He's got something out there. And he posted something a couple days ago that I found kind of interesting. He didn't write it. I've read the name of who did post it originally. I don't remember. He was an obvious Bernie bro, okay? But let me just read this to you, what this guy posted a couple days ago. When Bernie said everyone should have health care as a right, you called it socialism. Now you are begging for free tests and treatment and health care that is not tied to your job. When Bernie said workers should be guaranteed paid leave, you called it socialism. Now you are begging for paid leave as places close and people are laid off. When Bernie said every child in America should have high quality health care and universal school meals, you called it socialism. Now schools are closed and you need child care and food for your kids. When Bernie wanted to cancel all student loan debt to help millions of struggling Americans, you called it socialism. Now you are begging for student loan relief. When Bernie wanted national rent control so landlords can't jack up rent prices as high as they want and kick tenants out unfairly, you called it socialism. Now you are begging for landlords not to evict tenants during this time. When Bernie said all people should be making a living wage of at least $15 an hour, you called it socialism. Now you are literally relying on those same people at the grocery store, food service, child care, cleaners, and other minimum wage jobs to survive. Bernie has been fighting for basic human rights his entire life, and it took a global pandemic for you people to realize he's been right this whole time. We do not deserve him. End of post. Wow. Okay. Mr. Anonymous Facebook poster, let me tell you a few things here. I'm not begging for any of those things. I don't know if I spent a whole lot of time calling it socialism, but I'm not a big fan of big government programs. And, you know, as a general principle, I think that a healthy dose of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability, that should get us through this. But, you know, hey, maybe that's just me. I mean, I never claimed to be particularly sane or anything like that. But, you see, when I saw that post, you know, one of the 17 voices that I constantly hear arguing in my head started screaming something at me. It's like, don't you see what this is? It's the ghost of Cloward and Piven. Excuse me. Coronavirus. Now, I think most of you are familiar with Cloward Piven's strategy. Just a little background. It was outlined in an article written in 1966 by Richard Cloward and his wife, Frances Fox Piven. And that called for a big escalation in the welfare system. And the idea, sort of from a revolutionary standpoint, was if you could get so many people dependent on the system would just become overwhelmed, and then it would crash, and the whole society would sort of be looking to the government to save them. And it would, and that would eventually, in relatively short order, lead to a socialist utopia or whatever it is they wanted. Now, Cloward and Piven were mainly talking about economics, income redistribution, wealth redistribution, that sort of thing. But what I'm seeing here is the government or the healthcare system is starting to become a little overwhelmed because so many people are wanting something, supplies are getting short, may come down to rationing, the system becomes overwhelmed, the government will have no choice but to impose government health care. It's the Cloward Piven version of a socialist takeover, because as every good socialist knows, I think even back to Karl Marx noted that if you control the healthcare system, you can control the people. And if you can control the people, you can control pretty much everything else. So, okay, a few points on that. When you're trying to hand out money to people and, you know, help them that way, you're handing out money. You're not handing out wealth, because there is a difference between money and wealth. Wealth is the actual goods and services that people want that you can buy with money. Money is nothing but a medium of exchange, something so that if the chicken farmer wants to buy bricks, he doesn't have to haul his chickens to the brick seller. money's a medium, and it's also a convenient way to assign values to different things. How many loaves of bread does it take to equal a new pickup truck? So put it all in terms of dollars or euros or whatever. So that's what money is. But actual wealth is constantly being created and consumed. When you substitute money for wealth, you increase the consumption of the wealth, but you don't increase the production of wealth. And it just brings me to something I read yesterday about how Denmark is dealing with the situation. They have a plan where, I mean, this is going to cost a fortune, but they're going to pay people to stay employed, sort of, by their current employer, and they're going to get a big chunk of their regular paycheck paid by the government, but they're not paying people to work. They're paying people to not find another job so that, you know, the employer can maybe keep going when it's all over. And they say that this is going to cost, over the next few months, 13% of their gross domestic product. Just this program. That sounds kind of ruinous to me. And like I say, they are not paying people to produce wealth. They are paying people to consume wealth. And that's a lot of what the economic stimulus is anytime you're looking at it. I often use the analogy, because economic stimulus is a really good term, because the effect is similar to chemical stimulants like amphetamine, something like that. It may give you a little pep early on, but it doesn't provide nutrition. It doesn't provide strength. What it does is it makes your body use up its stored energy at a faster rate. So it is consuming more wealth than it's taking in. And that's why meth heads always look really bad, really skinny, emaciated, sick, dying, because they're using a drug that literally causes their bodies to eat themselves. And that's what economic stimulus will do in the long run. Now, just like a few pet pills may help you out briefly, okay. But long-term chemical stimulus and economic stimulus will only cause the body to eat itself. That's a simple fact of life. About out of time here. I see Esotericism. I don't know who that is. I've seen them around in other chat rooms. Glad to have you here. Hope you come back. Tim Tapp is here. He will be coming on the air in 31 minutes from right now here on Blog Talk Radio. And Hissy Vorpalbyte was here for most of the show. So thanks to him also for listening. And, well, I'm about out of time. So take care. Remember the simple facts of life. And hopefully I'll see you next week.